Good morning. This is the morning shift. I am he and he is I, Bo Morgan, also known as Squidbilly, and he is the All-American from Alabama and former Falcon, Michael P. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson.
That's right. I hope you're doing well this morning, my friend. Look, if you weren't awake right now, hopefully your tweeters and your car exploding from Bo yelling at us absolutely woke you up.
Rise and grind with us.
Did you have were you the type, because I know the answer for me, were you the type when you were a teenager to have subwoofers in your car?
Yeah.
Cannot confirm nor deny that you had an amplifier in your car.
I had the old Ford 5091 Mustang in high school, the LX version, it wasn't the sedan.
Right.
This is kind of like a hatchback.
I know what you're talking
and,
about.
And
couldn't have a hatchback without subwoofers, by the way.
My trunk space might have been short, and my license plate might have rattled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was Paulding County, baby.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
I don't know. Whiskey Tango?
There was no carpet on that box.
Yeah.
It was just a plywood box.
Straight up plywood.
I had two
That's
tens.
That's unfortunate, man.
I had two tens.
I had a couple 12s bumping in the back of the Danger Ranger. You know what I mean? Had the extended cab.
Oh, you had 12s, huh?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Dude, you didn't need more than 10s.
The dual 12. Of course I didn't need more than 10s. I didn't need the 10s, you know, if you want to go that far with it. I had the dual woofers with the neon lights that, you could flip on and off in the back. Dude, I was living the dream.
Dude,
no big deal.
You know what? I've made it, and I was first off, I was nowhere near making it. But my first I've made it moment is I got a couple years out of high school. I think I was 21. I got a truck. I got a little Z71, the extended cab, but it was the third door. You know where it wasn't even the third door. It was like, and the dumb part about it was, it was the passenger side that would open, the third,
suicide doors.
Yeah.
I had the same thing.
Buddy of mine at the time was like, hey, man. He's like, dude, you need to put a speaker in there. He's like, my stepbrother, he put I'll hook you up with him. So he goes, he'll come to work. And I was working at Cobb County Parks and Rec. So this dude shows up. And I'm like on we called it the zero turn. The company that makes it was Skag.
Yeah.
They still
I know exactly
it.
What you're talking about.
And so I'm out there like mowing a field. This guy shows up. I go there. I'm like, hey, man, I'm off at 4. You know, it's Friday. He's like, dude, I'll have this done in like no time. And he put the 110 with the carpeted box, put it underneath the seat, that back row seat. And I was like, man, I went to my buddy, dude, look how clean this looks.
Mama made it.
Look how clean this looks.
No, I'm with you, man. I had the suicide doors with the fold down sideways seat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That comes down off the suicide door.
Yeah.
And I used to take two of my buddies to school in the morning. They used to have to Rochambeau over who was going to sit in the suicide seat, the sideways seat, man. I don't know nothing about that these days, man. Everything's king cab.
My grandfather, my dad's dad had the Ranger, the extended cab with those seats.
Yeah.
And me and my sister be like, we're like 14. She was like 14 and I'm 10 and we're like just stuck right there.
Yeah, dude. You were living the dream back then, man.
imagine getting T-boned.
No, you're done.
Holy
you're
smokes.
Absolutely, dude. Both hips are completely destroyed.
But we didn't think about that. Like my parents were never like, nope, you don't ever ride with him in this truck.
Yeah. No, man, I'm all about it. I love talking about the old Danger Ranger. I told you before, my first car was a Geo Tracker.
Which I don't know how you fit in.
Well, no, I mean, I had more space in the Geo than I did the Ranger, but nonetheless, man, I had the vinyl, it was the soft top with the vinyl back window. Dude, somebody box-cuttered my back window, stole my single-din stereo that, pop out with the handle. Somebody
That's a lazy
me.
Thief to box-cutter soft
box
top.
Box-cutter, man. Box-cutter the soft top.
Mike was the guy that would show up to, an event, and he looks like he should have been carrying the car to the event, like he was driving a micro machine.
Listen, man.
You ever seen guys like that? The big bouncer gets up. Honda Civic.
I wouldn't say we were upper middle class, just to put it lightly. Okay, we were just rubbing rubbing two nickels together, see if we can make a dime, man. But no, it's a lot of fun to talk about, man. Obviously, still kind of getting over the big win this past Sunday for the Atlanta Falcons against Carolina up in Charlotte. We'll continue to look at that. I started watching a little bit of the 22 this morning, man, reacting to that. It's a lot of fun to talk about. Nonetheless, man, Monday Night Football last night, we got to get into the Jets and the Bills. The Hail Mary at the end of the half, one of the crazier plays. Aaron Rodgers now had like four Hail Marys like that on the career. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
Last night, they show all three Green Bay Packers Hail Marys, and then he throws the one for the New York Jets. A crazy play,
to
man.
To a former Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
Alan Lazard.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that last night. I was watching most of the game kind of on mute. Obviously, you and I had the racing thing going on. We'll get into as we go on throughout the show.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know you don't. What did you think of Aaron Rodgers last night? What did you think of Josh Allen? Aaron Rodgers is so good at what he does, but it just seems like that offense right now is so dysfunctional. It almost seems like he doesn't even need an offense coordinator or doesn't want an offense coordinator. He's controlling everything, it feels like, at the line of scrimmage.
And the lack thereof, some of the stuff that they do, because they – that's one of been the knocks of the offense is that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to use any motion. He's running an offense. The offense that he wants to run has kind of, I don't want to say time has passed it, but they haven't been able to, they haven't kept up with certain things that teams are doing these days to kind of get tells from the defense and kind of fool the defense. Breece Hall had his best night of the season, I believe, 113 yards on 18 carries. I think that would probably top anything he's done to this point this season.
Yeah.
And I think that's extremely important. I mean, it's far and away his best. And it's, to me, it's something that I don't know why he hasn't been incorporated more in the offense. He's a phenomenal player. So if Aaron Rodgers had any say in the fact that he went from 62, 54, 4, 23, and then boom, goes to 113. That's his game output so far this season for Breece Hall. That's a huge part for me of that offense working. But they lose again.
Yeah, and that's the biggest head scratch for me is how as an offensive unit, can you have the yardage they had, the ground game they had, and everything else they had going on last night, and yet you're – second touchdown comes on a Hail Mary at the end of the half. Like you score a touchdown, two field goals. You obviously had to miss field goal. It just seems like for whatever reason, man, and it's honestly, it feels a lot like the Falcons play, to be honest with you. Between the 20s, so explosive, so good, and then it's like tight red, and you're like, man, I can't get it done down here. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. 33% on third down. 4 of 12 on third down.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That is brutal. Your red area efficiency, 1 for 4. So 25% last night. So they scored one touchdown when getting into the red area. So right there, you can move the ball all you want. But if you don't make your field goals, which I know they missed, they had a miss, or you're not efficient on third downs or in the red area, you're going to lose games.
Yeah.
It's why we started off 1-2.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I mean. And listen, I did something that's so against my character. 2 weeks ago, I sat in here and said, man, in the red zone or short yardage, we need to put in a wildcat package. I mean, dude, 2 years ago, me is punching me dead in the face when I said that. I was like, it's just so out of character for me to use any kind of gimmick. But the more you look at the NFL, if you're not mobile at the quarterback position inside the 10-yard line because of spacing, you're going to struggle. You are going to struggle. Josh Allen, a prime example of that. Did you see the fake toss right last night, and then Josh Allen just simply quarterback sweep around the left?
Yeah, to seal the game.
I mean, dude, it was unbelievable. And that's what that kind of dynamic brings you, and it's something that teams like New York and Atlanta don't have, for better or worse. Now, like I said, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, their numbers are off the chain through the air, but in that tight red, that's where teams like that struggle.
I don't even care about that. Go to this quarterback sneak where he scores a touchdown. And
oh, my goodness.
But here's the problem.
Don't even get me started.
But here's the problem. Kirk Cousins could have done that sneak. All Josh Allen does, all he does is take the hike, stand for a half a tick, and then he just He squeezes right in behind that left guard.
Rides the wave off left tackle.
But here's a problem. The left tackle and the left guard and the center do their job on that side of the line. The left guard has no one in front of him. And he just rides his butt in there. Like literally rides on the back of him into the end zone. I think Kirk Cousins could do that. Hell, you know what? That's the kind of play where you know it's almost a tush push esque. You know it's coming, ride it in there.
Do you think we'll get a quarterback sneak before the end of the season?
Yeah,
we have to, right? Like you don't go a whole season without a quarterback sneak.
Here's the thing.
Not one.
I said this yesterday when I did my hit with the show in Cleveland, Tennessee. Zach Robinson looks different when you just talk to him around the team, right? I've seen him. You don't get to be around much, but on the road, I see a different kind of feel. He's calling games. The Darnell Mooney little throw where Darnell falls down. And he's starting to feel himself.
All right.
It's coming.
All right.
It's coming. He's all getting comfortable.
Well, you know what's not coming so far is the Atlanta Falcons pass rush and their run defense. We're going to get into it more on the other side of the break. What concerns you more? Is it the pass rush? Is it the run defense? Same group of players, two different things. We'll break it all down on the other side. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike and Bo, a couple dogs off the leash this morning, hanging out, talking a little bit of football. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Now, before we get to the Falcons D-line pass rush run defense conversation, how about that weather yesterday, man? Did you get a chance to jump out and play any holes of golf? I went and sat on the patio, had a couple margaritas with the wife and kids yesterday. Just good. Beautiful, man. The kids just love it.
Good for you.
Yeah, man. Just living the American dream.
Oh, good for you. No, yeah. I didn't. I went home and took a two-hour nap, woke up, did not mean to take a two-hour nap. I meant to take, like, an hour and then take Sprinkles for a walk. 2 hours, had to go jump in the truck.
Yeah.
And the
is that why you gave a shout-out to all the Uber drivers earlier today? You're like, shout-out, man. That's a tough life to live.
No, just, you know.
Shout-out to our boy Skip.
Just being nice.
Driving that Lyft.
Nah, Skip's not a member of the nation, so he doesn't get shout-outs from me.
Speaking of the shout-outs, people really do, like, feel some type of way when I don't do them.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
they do.
I'm not going to be a jerk, but I feel a kind of way when you do because it takes up about 5 minutes of a segment.
But Dylan,
not five,
Dylan
it takes
don't
two.
You take that.
It takes two.
Hey,
it takes
first
two.
Of all, tell this man the
seconds.
Next time you have to hear about his W-Saw Chevrolet pulling up every time we start Life of Squid that you're going to have some words for him.
Well, the W-Saw.
Tell that man.
W-Saw is a sponsor. And
right. That's part of
900 people Dylan shots out. I don't think maybe, but one of them maybe pays.
What I will tell Bo is it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good.
He's just bringing good vibes in the morning, man. That's part of his persona.
Dylan has an hour every morning, and he uses 35 minutes of it to shout out people.
Minutes.
The other 25 is commercials, and then he has like 2 minutes where he's like,
I don't think his ratios are that far off from yours. I got 5 minutes for Life of Squid. I'm gonna spend four of it talking about big truck, little truck.
Hey,
let me use this moment to remind you that you can sign up for the Brown Grass Charity Classic right now. If you go to the 92.9 The Game website, go to the events page, you can click on it. Spots are filling up, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, you guys the only way you can get in is might be a sponsorship at this point.
Well, and that's why I honestly brought it up a minute ago when I said, did you get to play golf yesterday? The weather's been so good. Hopefully the weather stays like that, building all the way up to the golf tournament here. And what about a month, right? A little bit over a month. So that'd be a lot of fun to get out there and hang out with everybody. I'll be at Dudley's this weekend, get a chance to catch up with everybody at the Dos Equis tailgate party. Unfortunately, I will have to watch the Tennessee-Bama game as everybody around me is probably building up for Georgia and Texas, but nonetheless, it's going to be a good weekend of college football coming up.
Been a bad weekend yet? No, I'm going to answer that. There's not.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
even the down week 2 weeks ago was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Where it was like four or five teams in the top 25.
I was pouting 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was pouting.
That's because you're one of the top 10 teams that lost.
Yeah, I know. I was pouting 2 weeks ago. So I haven't. Look, I came to grips with the fact that Bama lost to Vandy. I still think that Bama probably looked worse against South Carolina, which shocks me to say, but we'll get into that throughout the show. For right now, we're going to talk a little bit about this Atlanta Falcons run defense, this defensive line, and the question I posed, Bo, heading into the break, what are you more concerned about in the long run? Is it the run defense or is it the pass rush? Now, allow me to jump in here first. We'll get to some sound in just a second. Obviously, a lot of these things are one and the same when you talk about personnel. Now, there's a little bit different. I think when you look at pass rush, you're not going to talk about Nate Lamon. You'll talk about Caden Ellis to an extent. You'll talk about trying to create, you know, magic off the back edge and bring a corner cat, maybe Jesse Bates every now and then. But for the most part, when we talk about pass rush, we're going to talk about the four defensive linemen that are rushing the passer and maybe a plus one. All right. When we talk about run defense, all right, that has to do with the entire front seven. And sometimes a guy like Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, whoever else it might be, rolling down in that. Here's what I'll say. Until the run defense gets better, it's not even worth talking about the pass rush. Until the run defense gets better, it's not even worth talking about the pass rush. Now, I was listening to Andy and Randy yesterday. They're talking about, hey, eventually this pass rush will catch up to you, and I agree. All right, but that's not even worth talking about until we can get past the run defense, because until we can get a better run defense, you ain't going to have third and longs to be able to tee off on the quarterback. And I know that Seattle's going to pass it a ton and not really going to try to run it. But to me, the run defense is much more a huge part of the next how many games they have. What, 11 games left in the regular season? The run defense is carrying all the burden on their shoulders right now moving forward until they get it correct.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Please do.
And I hear this. I want to push back. It's not that I disagree. It's not that I disagree with the sentiment. Oh, it's going to come to bite you eventually. I don't necessarily disagree with that. So who's going to be the guy that does it then? Because Jalen Hurts didn't make you pay for it. Patrick Mahomes, in reality, did, but he didn't. Because, I mean, you at the end of the day, you had a chance to win that game, and you just could not convert. Baker Mayfield didn't. Derek Carr didn't. Who's the quarterback that, Andy Dalton didn't? So if Patrick Mahomes can't light you up for 400...
What do you mean Patrick Mahomes didn't make you pay for it? We lost.
You lost, but you didn't lose because Patrick Mahomes shoved it down your throat and you lost like 40-20.
Patrick Mahomes looked like he was on vacation in the backfield, dude. What do you, like, we lost that game. You can say he didn't make you pay for it. Okay, fine.
But what is making pay?
At no point did he feel like he was under a threat.
You've got the... You have the, let me see, hold on a second, the ninth best pass defense in the league. So my point is you're not losing games. The games that you've lost haven't been because you couldn't get to the quarterback and because you were getting lit up through the air. It's because you can't stop the run. It's because teams are able to possess the ball. It's because teams are constantly in second and third and short because of the fact that they're able to control the ball and you're giving up 142 yards a game on the ground.
Well, and obviously, the way I started this, I agree with you. But I have to push back on the fact that you think we haven't been bitten by it yet. And I think the issue is you and I are looking at this from two different angles. Right? You're saying, well, it hasn't bit us. You know, Patrick Mahomes just did a little bit. He kind of checked it down. The problem with me is the pass rush can be an offensive-style weapon. You create turnovers. You create negative plays. Now, while you can look at Patrick Mahomes' numbers or whoever else's numbers and say, well, they didn't really burn you, that's fine. We need it to go the other direction. We need to create the negative plays. We need to create the TFLs. We need to create the turnovers. When quarterbacks are under duress, that's when they throw picks. Just ask Andy Dalton last week. Well, so I agree with you. I 100%. The run defense is A1, the priority for me
right now. I think that starts with the run defense. I think getting sacks starts with the run defense because if I can run the ball on 1st and 10 and get 5 yards, well, that's 2nd and 5. Now my entire playbook is open.
And you I agree.
And you
it's
don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I might run for another 4 yards and then – throw, vice versa, I might throw, you know what, 2nd and 5. I think I can run at chunks on this team. But for me, if I can limit you to a couple yards on 1st down the run game,
yeah.
Now 2nd and 8, I think your playbook is less open. I think you maybe have to, because if you run again and you only get a couple yards, 3rd and 6, I can bend my ears back and come at you a little bit. Yeah. I can hug up on coverage a little bit and try to make you pat the ball and because you've got to get 6 or 7 or 8 yards.
Yeah.
I just think it changes things, but as long as you lose 1st down And a lot of that has been in the run game. The offense is at an advantage, and you're not.
And here's what else I'll say, and you mentioned it. You're getting 5 yards on first down, whether you're running or throw it, whatever it is. You're getting 5 yards on first down. At second and five, let me just give you all – second and five, guess what part of the playbook is open on second and five? The whole freaking thing. The whole thing is open on second and five. All right, you can run play action. You can run draws. You can run screens. You can five-step drop. You can run another run play. The whole freaking thing is open. All right, so we talk about situational football and can we get them in third and long so we can rush the passer? That's exactly what we're talking about. We need to get them in second long for that part. And it is, look, I get it, man. The Falcons are very smart the way they go about their defense game planning, and I don't know that they get enough credit for that. It's not like we're an extremely well-rounded defense at this point. We are very good in the secondary. Shout out to Jimmy Lake. Shout out to Raheem. Shout out to everybody else back there. And we're not that great up front. But schematically, I think the way we're playing up front lends itself to what we are trying to do in an overall scheme. Basically, what we're saying is, yeah, check it down. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah, rip off some of the big gainers on the ground. But guess what? When things tighten up, we're going to be able to blitz you. We're going to be able to play situational football, and we'll come for you.
And Art said it best in the broadcast. You can call the blitzes you want, but if at some point if they don't get home, the guys have to get home. Okay, Caden Ellis has to get home when they call.
Lorenzo Carter misses the one in
exactly.
the back.
Exactly.
Tough.
I just think at some point you have to get home. If I'm blitzing Caden Ellis, I'm gonna need him to run over the running back and create some chaos.
Yeah, don't get Bijan'd by the running back. All right, and that's what I'm gonna start calling it because he's been that good. Look, we got to move on. I might put a poll out on the Twitter. What more concerns you, the run defense or the pass rush moving forward for the Atlanta Falcons? That'll be a fun conversation. We'll continue that throughout the show. On the other side of the break, another legendary weekend of college football upcoming, like Bo mentioned. We'll talk about Texas and Georgia. We'll talk about Tennessee and Alabama. We'll talk about all those good games coming up. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Mike Johnson here, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, hanging out on a beautiful Tuesday morning. The weather's been beautiful for over a week. Shout out to our buddy Brandon Mincy hitting us up on Twitter. Just put the poll out. What concerns you more? All right, what concerns you more? Is it the Falcons' run defense or the Falcons' pass rush? We'll continue to get into that throughout the show. But for now, we're going to talk a little bit about college football here before the end of the hour. I want to bring you guys in on a conversation. There's been passionate debate.
Yeah.
Passionate debate
some
in the hallowed grounds of the Kia Studios here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This started, and I think it was Bill Connolly who put this on Twitter yesterday. I don't want to give credit to the wrong person. I'll have to look that up in a minute.
But I'm saying something. You ain't going to win this argument.
Well, here's how the conversation flows. First of all, you have Army and Navy who are in the same conference right now. The Big 12, it's an okay conference. It's not awful, but really at the top of this conference in the Big 12, Iowa State and BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Army and Navy, it's possible that Army and Navy could play each other on championship weekend now that they're in the same conferences, they're not independent. It's possible that Army and Navy could play each other twice at the end of the year. BYU and Iowa State could possibly play each other in the Big 12 championship game the same weekend that Army and Navy play. All right, here's the caveat, and here's the conversation we got into, and I don't think a lot of people are realizing this. All right, the top four conference champions get the bye week. All right, and the conversation popped up yesterday. Is it possible that the winner of an Army-Navy conference championship game, I'm not talking about the Army-Navy game, I'm talking about the conference championship game, is it possible that the winner of that game is actually ranked higher than whoever wins the Iowa State-BYU game to win the Big 12? Now, I will concede one thing before you break out into your argument. If Iowa State or BYU stay undefeated and win the Big 12, it's a lock that they will finish ahead of Army and Navy. All right? But Army and Navy, when you look at their schedules, they are each other's toughest competition, and the College Football Playoff Committee will select those top four before the Army and Navy game. So it's not like whoever plays the second time around gets a chance to kind of beat back on Army and Navy. All right, Army and Navy are both very good football teams. The conversation yesterday, Bo, and we'll get to Tennessee, Bama, we'll get to Texas, Georgia in just a second. The conversation yesterday was, is there a chance that Army or Navy become a first-round bye? Is there a chance that they are actually ranked ahead of the Big 12 champion when it's all said and done? Because the Big 12, unfortunately, outside of BYU and Iowa State, an extremely weak conference this year.
No, because when I read off a schedule of Lehigh, FAU, Rice, Temple, Tulsa, UAB, terrible, East Carolina.
UAB is awful.
Air Force at North Texas. Notre Dame, there's the one.
Okay.
There's the only game.
I think they both play Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken.
They do. Okay. UTSA and then Navy. That's Army's schedule.
Yep.
You go to Navy's, and it's Bucknell, Temple, Memphis. Okay. Memphis, not terrible.
Yeah.
At UAB, terrible.
Awful.
Air Force, Charlotte. Oh, man. Big game against powerhouse Charlotte.
You were on the grounds this
weekend. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, okay, well, nothing. Notre Dame, at Rice, at USF, Tulane, at East Carolina, and then an Army. No, because I'm going to tell you something. I'll show you Iowa State's schedule right now, and it's all right. Iowa State, North Dakota, better opponent than almost anything on their on the schedule there. Iowa, Arkansas State, Houston, Baylor, West Virginia, UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, Cincinnati, Utah, and Kansas State to finish. Iowa State is already better than right there, and BYU has got a couple of good wins themselves. I'd have to find theirs, but I'm telling you. They're as bad as it is, there's no way. Army and Navy would have to each blow out Notre Dame and then blow out the other one in that conference championship game to get that.
Yeah.
And then they still have to finish that they would still have to beat the other team again.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, though. The College Football Playoff Committee selects the teams before the second time they play. So that game is actually the Army Navy game is a week before the first round of the playoffs.
I don't think there's any way. Anyway.
What about if, let's just say, both Iowa State and BYU have a loss? One of them's going to, then they'd play each other in the championship game with one loss. All right, then we're talking about maybe a different scenario. I just think it's more likely than you think it is. And I think it's more likely than anybody ever expected it might be.
Also,
Big 12 is a weak league, dude.
The Notre Dame win will be lessened by Georgia Tech beating them this weekend.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
No, there's no hope. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Let's hope those boys from the flats can go out and take care of business in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I get a lot of confidence in them. And I'm going to tell you something. I think Georgia Tech is going to feel themselves walking in. Brent Key, already, 5-2?
Got a little swagger to him, man. Got a little swagger to him, old Brent.
I told Art, while we were watching the West Virginia-Iowa State game on the road in Charlotte, and I said, hey, congratulations on being bowl eligible.
I want to update everybody on the poll I put out yesterday. There was a lot of fun back and forth. I pretty much put it out, Alabama or Georgia, which fan base is more concerned about their matchup this weekend? Are Georgia fans more concerned about number one Texas? Went back and watched the Texas game. I don't think the scoreboard was very indicative of the way Quinn Ewers played. Quinn Ewers, no downfield throws, struggled, missed a couple throws the first half. He rounded it for him. He's just knocking the rust off. Still same old Quinn Ewers. Or is it Bama facing off against Nico Iamaliava and a Tennessee team that's not exactly feeling themselves right now either? But when you look at Bama, when you look at Georgia, both concerns defensively over what's going on both these teams right now. That poll finished 51% Georgia fans, 49% Bama fans as far as the concern this weekend.
For Alabama, is it the team that played in the first half against Georgia?
And then for seen them.
And for Georgia fans, is it the team that played in the second half against Clemson? Not Alabama, but Clemson. And let me say something.
Point.
Stop telling me the ACC is down. They're not. The ACC is exactly – in fact, this might be the strongest the ACC has been in years. You know why? Because Miami looks really good.
Miami should have lost last week.
Clemson should have, could have, would have, brother.
Okay.
Alabama should have lost to Georgia. In the second half, they played like garbage. No, yeah,
I'm
you
not
can make
sure.
That argument.
Miami got helped by a referee. I don't think Bama got helped by a referee. Make the argument they just played like crap. Sure, yeah, if you're making that argument, then sure.
You can go make an argument there was a call or two that shouldn't have went Alabama's way probably in the game against Georgia. The reality is, don't bring shouldas, bring what happened. So that's what everybody tells me about the penalty with the Falcons, and me and State got in an argument the other day about you could have lost this, that. The reality of the situation is, the team that Georgia was in the second half against Clemson was phenomenal. Clemson's a pretty pretty good football team. And I'm going to tell you something.
You almost let it ride right there. Dylan, hit the dump button.
Might as well, I mean,
hit your hand over the dump button.
You know how I caught myself? Clemson's pretty good. The ACC.
Tiffany leaves for one day. This guy's dropping F-bombs.
I didn't drop anything. I started to say they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, F football.
That's the thing for me. I'm more worried about Georgia right now than I am Alabama, and only because I just haven't seen any consistency from Georgia.
I agree with you. I'm more worried about Georgia's expectations as opposed to under a first-year coach in Alabama. We'll talk about that more when we get to Mic'd Up later in the show. Hour number two is coming at you. It's Mike and Bo here in the Kia Studios. We're going to continue to talk about this Atlanta Falcons defense, the run defense, or the pass rush. Which one is more concerning moving forward? I got the poll out on Twitter. Make sure you hit us up. Weigh in with your thoughts. We'll talk about it coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.